Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above for today, August 19th. What? Hold the phone. Let me mute that out. Sorry about that, everybody. I forget that when I listen to a YouTube video on my computer and have to unmute the video, that unless I go back and mute it again, it stays on. And then I end up doing what I just did. It's all good. Today is Wednesday. We are at the middle of the week, the day after, or the morning after, should I say, the new moon in Leo, which was a pretty powerful moon. I felt the shift almost immediately as it moved out of the old phase and into the new phase, sort of like a refresh, right? It felt like, you know, when you restart your computer or when you hit refresh and everything comes back up and it starts working really well. I felt like we had a very major refresh last night. And for those of you that were in Europe, that happened over the night and you're just now, you know, you've just gotten to your refresh. So it is something that you're just now experiencing as well. Now, since then, I forgot to even mention this, that as soon as the moon was new last night, it immediately went into the void it was at 10:40 something. So we had a void of course moon from just after the new until about 1:30 or so this morning. In fact, let's see, what time was that this morning? It was at 1:21 a.m. Pacific Coast time. So 4 something for those of you on the East Coast. And so we had that new moon energy lingering with us through the overnight and into the very early morning when the moon moved out of Leo and into Virgo. So isn't that kind of interesting how that goes, right? We have this striking creative possibility and potential that shows up with the new moon. And then the very next morning, when we're all again alert and awake and ready to start our day, the moon finds itself in Virgo, which is very much about getting the plan enacted, right? Taking the steps now from, you know, the Leo energy keeps it all up there in the creative space and the imagination and the expression of self. But now you got to take those plans and you got to put them put boots on them and get them working in the real world. So we go from the idea to the expression of the idea. And today's a really good day for this. In fact, the moon in Virgo is helping us with that. Later this evening, Mercury will move out of Leo and into Virgo. Right. Remember, it was just August 4th that he moved into Leo after having spent so much time in Cancer from May until August 4th, the end of May till August 4th. Now he's zooming along and moving into yet another sign, Virgo. We'll talk about what that means. Today, the sun is also finding itself in a very good angle relationship, sextile, if you want to know for sure, with the North Node and the North Node destiny, right? That's in Gemini, the sun in the later degrees of Leo, and triggering for us a move toward our destinies. And we'll talk a little bit about what that is. Today is 7, self-regulating in the Pleiadian Earth energy. So we're going to talk about where that is. We're now at the halfway point of our one choosing week. What have you chosen? What will you continue to choose as we move forward? Now, yesterday we gave a little bit of voice to human design. Oh, darn it. I didn't bring up the chart. So hold on. I'm going to bring up the human design chart really quickly. And I meant to do that and I got sidetracked. And hold the phone. Let me see if I can bring it up here. And it won't look as good as it does the other ways that I do it, but since I'm doing it anyway, let me just save this image and just now 8:19. Can you believe we're already toward the middle of the end of August? Okay, now let me bring it up so I can show you guys where the sun and the earth are sitting right now. Because I think that, you know, when the more you're able to sort of visualize what's going on in your human design, the more you can connect it to your own human design. And from there, you start to really understand the whole of the flow of human design. So I'm going to share my screen here. There we go. Okay. So now you can see that we have a split, right? There's a split definition in this particular chart. If this were a person, this person would have an activated head and ajna, not quite making it to the throat energy for manifestation. They would have to find a way to bridge that gap between the ajna and the throat, but also the emotional energy making it up to the throat via the channel 1222. So if we look at this to find out where the earth and the sun are, because that's what I want to focus on this morning, the sun and the earth. The sun is at the gate 29 and the earth is at the gate 30. The gate 30 is a red flag gate. In human design, it's probably the reddest of the red flag gates, where we find it activated in a chart or by transit. It is elevating the whole of the energy of this chart, or of the world in the moment. And it is an energy that is called desire in the lowest expression. And it's interesting to find that desire, because we think sometimes of desire, at least I do, I think of desire as something kind of not neutral, but I don't think of it as something that's a shadow energy, but indeed it is a shadow energy. And then the sun at the gate 29 is at the gate of commitment. The gate 29 likes to say yes to everything, right? So we're learning about how to say yes to the right things in this particular week. And yet our desire may form an energy within us that's pushing us to say yes to more things, because we're desirous of whatever, right? More money, more clients, more opportunities, more relationship opportunities, better health, whatever it is that we're desiring of, we are, you know, holding that very tightly. The lesson here in the gate 30 is to hold them sort of lightly, so that we're not in a position of so attached to how we think the outcome should be that we miss the mysticism here, right? We miss the magic that can happen when it's the universe that's in the creator seat with us, and not just us going, oh, it has to come this way, it has to be this. So holding it lightly. So the sun and earth this week are really working together. So the sun on the sacral and the earth sitting at the gate 30 on the emotional center. So emotional and action-oriented, interesting combination, right? So that's what the chart looks like at the moment. I'm going to stop sharing this, because now I want to go into the stories in our 64 Faces of Awakening, the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook by Rosie Aronson. And I want to take a quick look before I go over and do that and say good morning to everybody popping in here. Good morning, J-Lo and Phantom Chroma. Amy, good morning. Pauline, hello. Andy Girl, good to see you. Asa, hello. Jennifer Peachy, Kimberly, J-Lo. Pauline says, sun in Virgo soon too. Got to check when. The sun will be in Virgo this Saturday, so we'll be talking about that on Friday. And I even have the time here at 8:45 a.m. Pacific Coast time on Saturday morning. So if you're on the East Coast, 11:45 a.m., the sun will move out of Leo and into Virgo. And we have more of the go signs, right? The go signs, the get to work signs, to get busy signs, to add, you know, the energy of doing to your list. So that'll be fun. Courtney, hello. Tati, good morning. And Pauline says, what was the website to grab natal and human design chart? It is living-astrology. So I'm going to type it in here. It's a hyphen, actually, astrology.com. That is my website. You can go there, get your free human design chart, your free natal chart. Also comes with a report for the human design. And it's free, right? It gives you a start about who you are, about what your energies are, and then allows you to follow along easier with us in the morning when we're talking about these different things. J-Lo says, yes, it helps me much. I love that. Jessica, hello there. Good morning. What is the highest reflection of desire? Let's look at that, right? So if we look at the gate 30 in our human design, or in the, I think the best way to see it is through the gene keys, where the gift of is lightness. So when we talk about desire and we're holding on to what it is that we want, lightness, we're just kind of holding it lightly. So if you want something and you know that you really want it, and the best bet is to sort of step back from the desire, just holding it lightly, and watch how the universe magically brings it in the highest expression. It's rapture. And that's a word that often just gives me pause. Rapture just feels so celebratory, so ecstatic almost. I'm not sure what the difference between rapture and ecstasy would be, because ecstasy is a gift, the highest expression of the gate 46, which is the gate that's opposite of the 29, of saying yes to the right things. So these two are very much connected. Think about this. So desire in the gift is lightness, and the gate 46 is delight in the gift, right? So it's light and lightness, delight. So it implies that when we are committed to the right things, that we are grounded in the very physical expression of those things, in we're grounding our soul into our body, right? That desire is driving us to do the things that our soul desires. But if we hold on to that desire too tightly, instead of just letting it go, then we miss that the universe could be trying to create something spectacular instead of just mediocre. So maybe that helps. Andy Girl says it's 11:11. I can tell where you are because it's 8:11 here. Amanda J, hello. And Ursula, good morning to you. Puffing Pixie, wishing everybody a great day. It's great to see all of you this morning. I just feel like I had this perpetual smile on my face in the mornings because everybody's there. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. So let's launch into our story. Let me close that down for a minute. And let's look at the cards, first of all. What did I do with those? Here they are. Okay, so the first one I'm going to read is the Sun. And I wanted to read that one first because yesterday we talked so much about saying yes to the correct things. And this is the gate of commitment. In the lowest expression, the shadow, when we commit to too many things, or when we commit to the wrong things, we end up with the spirit of half-heartedness, where in the gift, it's true commitment. So we have the card here of commitment. It's number 29. You can see that down there at the bottom. And let's see what this particular story is all about. And again, the gift is commitment. The shadow is half-heartedness. And the siddhi is devotion. And it says, a clear decision is felt as a quiet and powerful warmth that courses through your whole being. Maybe that helps too. My parents always called me the free bird. That was their sweet way of saying I was an unreliable flake. I was always flitting about from romance to romance, place to place, career to career. My manifestors out there might recognize that as part of the experience they've had with other people in their lives. Always starting what I couldn't finish. So when I finally found social work and a wonderful organization that suited me well, everyone was thrilled, including me. I worked there for years. I grew within the organization, loved the population, and felt my life was meaningful. But after 7 years, I found myself overcommitted, burned out, and disengaged. My heart yearned to be somewhere else doing something more creative. I wanted more space in my life for intimacy. My colleagues and staff had no idea how half-hearted I'd become about the job. I was lying to myself and to them. I was also terrified of leaving. They needed me, and I certainly didn't want to risk quitting or failing or seeming unreliable. So I waited and waited. Each time someone dared to quit the agency to go after a dream, I felt jealous, like I was on the sidelines, launching other people's happiness while watching mine drift farther and farther away. To top it off, I felt even more trapped. Without me, who would train the new people? Finally, just as I spilled 16 ounces of coffee all over the giant pile of paperwork on my desk, it hit me. The timing would never feel right. I could never guarantee that my next step would be a success, and I had no control over what others thought of me. Suddenly, a warmth ran through my body, and I knew what I had to do. The following day, I gave notice. While I will always cherish my time working in that organization, I have not looked back, not once, and I have no regrets. My gift to you. I am here to give you permission to say yes to life, to trust it fully. It is time to hold nothing back. Don't worry about what others think or expect from you. Beware of giving your power away to a teacher, guru, or a system. Fly brave and blind as you embark on your path. And remember, few things are less healthy for you than half-heartedness. So whether you are succeeding or failing, to do it with a full heart, stand by your decisions. Trust your in-the-moment guidance. Honor the stream of your experience and relationships until each cycle reaches its natural completion. Do these things and there will be no need to worry about the future, for the seed of your dreams lives in the heart of your commitment. It's all about the journey. And I just got something huge when I was reading this to you, as I also have the gate 29 defined in my chart. I believe it's actually part of my destiny. Beware of giving your power away to a teacher, guru, or system. It's probably why I utilize more than just one system when teaching, because I feel like every facet of one system can't be all there is, right? So I'm not necessarily committed to one. I'm committed to finding the juicy tidbits in all of them and bringing them to you and creating a whole new system. Or maybe it's not even a system, just a whole new way of looking at things, that gift of the 29. Now, here are some questions for contemplation for you. And I'll try to post these up a little bit later, but I have a crazy busy day today, so I might not get to it until late. Where in your life are you overcommitted? Where do you feel like a slave or like you're being taken advantage of or abused? What in your life, a job, relationship, or way of being needs to come to an end? What do you fear might happen if you honor and follow through with what you know to be true? Ooh. Where are you lacking commitment? Where are you living half-heartedly? Are you saying yes, but then not following through? Is there a frustration, fear, or anger behind your seeming flakiness that you haven't fully owned? How can you more deeply commit to the needs of your soul? Think of a time in your life when you experienced devotion. Where in your life today are you satisfied with your level of commitment? Honor these experiences in your journal. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read the gate 30, because the gate 30 is the one where the earth is that kind of triggers the challenge for us to live by our commitments, and that is the energy of desire. So again, if we look at the card, let me finish off with the card 29. So you get one last look at our 29, right? Our energy of commitment. And let's look at, who does that look like? In fact, this is the energy of lightness, the gate 30 of desire in the lowest center or the lowest extreme. And the highest is the gift of rapture, right? The city of rapture, the shadow of desire, and the gift of lightness. Doesn't that look like Robin Williams? I think when I talked to Rosie, that was the one card that she actually used someone's face for, that this card was based on Robin Williams. And I don't remember now why that was, whether he carried that energy or what, but anyway, it says, as every human being learns, the cycle of desire is eternal. Okay, so here's my wisdom story. I was said to have shot out of my mother's womb like a rocket and then nursed like a baby whale. As soon as I could talk, I made people laugh. And as soon as I could walk, I ran everywhere I wasn't supposed to go. I was on a mission to experience every single part of life. So I gobbled it up throughout my teens and found myself becoming a young actor. I wanted to experience the sound of applause. I loved being able to be anyone and try anything my mind could dream up. Soon, I desired the experience of being rich and famous, and so I tried that for a long time. I threw my money around like gum wrappers and chewed up my fans like chips. But those flippant times only made me feel empty and alone. My sensitive soul hungered for something different and deeper. I wanted to use every single one of my gifts so that I could have an even bigger impact. Soon, I was popular all over the world, but no matter how huge or demanding my achievements were, I still wanted more. That's that bottomless pit, that void. For a while, I thought I'd be happy if I could just learn to completely trust my instincts. When I mastered that, all I wanted was for my performances to lift the spirits of all of humanity. But I couldn't escape that awful feeling of wanting more until the fire in me all but burned out. I became depressed and overserious. My only desire was to end desire. That is when I discovered Buddhism and meditated for hours in order to become one with everything and finally transcend my never-ending ache. But soon I realized even that was a desire. No matter what I did, the desire would not go away. The moment I faced my desire, admitted defeat, and accepted that it wasn't going to go away, things started to change. I started to lighten up, but not in an ungrounded way. I genuinely stopped trying to control my life. I surrendered totally to all of it, even the most painful parts, including my utter helplessness in relation to my own desire and the inevitable disappointments that followed. I was finally free. My gift to you, I bring good and bad news. The bad, you are not in control of your destiny and you are never going to get rid of your desire. The good, accepting this bad news will free you to trust in life. It's time to fully feel your desires and to realize that feeling them doesn't mean acting on them indiscriminately or repressing them. You can welcome a desire into your home without allowing it to control your life. Being human is quite a trip and life is quite a game, a comedy and a tragedy all at once. You might as well enjoy the ride. Keep a sense of humor. Do not pretend to live lightly. Embrace and emanate a true lightness of being. With such an attitude, you won't need to fear your feelings, no matter how painful. A lightness will burn so bright in you, it'll beam out of your eyes no matter what is happening. I love that. Questions for contemplation. Where are you taking life too seriously? Is your strict adherence to certain principles preventing you from exploring your true passions? That's kind of a question the new moon asked us this week. Is it possible that some of the desires you've been rejecting aren't as bad, dangerous, or unhealthy as you've come to believe? Are your desires in control of you? Are you overindulging in what feels good without taking responsibility for the consequences? Think of someone who for you embodies true lightness of being. Have you ever experienced true rapture? Was it wonderful, scary, enlightening? Great questions, right? And very important because the sun-earth configuration during the new moon was exactly at these two gates. The sun at the gate 29 with the earth at the gate 30. It was the sun and the moon at the gate 29, by the way, not just the sun. All right. Questions, comments. How's everybody doing out there? Do you like these stories, by the way? I'm pretty sure everybody really does, but sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm reading to you and maybe that's not so good. Loanne, good morning, Ursula. Over here in Santa Cruz, we have smoke and ash in the air with a red sun. Send love to the firefighters in California, please. Let's do for sure because that they put their lives in danger on the line for other people's lives and property, and just an amazing job that they do. Amy, yes, sure do. Asa, yes, as a manifester, the flaky bird is so me. It's who you're meant to be, Asa. You can't fight it. J-Lo, sending prayers, Ursula. And crazy, after you read that, there was thunder here. Ooh, thunder. I hope that means rain is on its way to you. That would be a blessing. J-Lo says, yes, that is exactly how I see it. Also, that we are connected. I believe the universe has all divinely orchestrated everything. Amanda J, resonating with this today. Jessica, I love that you connect all the paradigms into something so meaningful, so much deeper and affirming. Yeah, I think it's hard to have one system. I know it can. I know that astrology could answer all questions. I know gene keys could answer all questions. And I know that human design can answer all questions. But it feels to me more like there is some truth in all of those, which is why I attempt to bring them all together. And then I throw in the Pleiadian earth energy and the Mayan energy and any of the other things that come along to me that resonate, that add spice to the whole of life. And Andy says, yes, the stories definitely resonate. She did such a fabulous job. By the way, I should just say, this is actually part of a deck of cards, an oracle deck that is called the Wisdom Keepers and 64 Faces of Awakening. And in this particular deck, all these faces for all 64 gates of the human design are here. And this was by Rosie Aronson, PhD. She also has a wonderful human design background as well as the gene keys. So she sort of like me comes from two different disciplines. I just add the third one in there because that's what I learned first. All right. So let's see. Are gene keys on my website? Some, a little bit. I just Gene Keys to me is something that I contemplate personally. And at some point, I did start a Gene Keys study group, and I had to let that go because there was just too much going on. I feel like so unqualified sometimes. I'm one person trying to get out all of this information, so I had to set it back for a while. I will get back to that, though, as soon as I have an opening, a space in my schedule, because I think the Gene Keys really go so much deeper. And those of you who are new to the work that I do are probably just aware, just learning about astrology, or maybe even just learning about what's human design and what's my human design chart look like, and you know, what the heck does that mean? And the Gene Keys take the human design system one step further. They look at it holographically through the light, through shadow, through light or gift, and through the Siddhi. And so it can be overwhelming for those of you who are new to take on all these at one time. So take it slow, and don't worry if you're hearing things that you've never heard of before, like the Gene Keys, go look that up, right? Do your own due diligence in the short term. And then if you have questions, you can bring that here and you can, you know, keep searching for your own answers. Because there's no way I can't be all of that for everyone at the same time, but I can do my best to bring it to you and share what I know in the moment based on what is happening in the sky above right today. J-Lo says, please take a moment and hit the like button, please. That is so helpful for me. Hit the like button. And if you have not yet done so, please subscribe. You can do that just below. And if you want to get notifications of when I'm live on air, you can hit the little bell. The little bell next to the subscribe button tells you or allows you to choose how you want to be notified. And thank you very much, J-Lo, for bringing that up and reminding me to remind everybody. Good morning, Monique. It's good to see you out there. And Pauline says, not intimidated, feel like I'm reconnecting. I love that. I love that. I think there's this inner wisdom in all of us. We may not know why we know what we know. That's a part of your human design too, right? You don't know what you know or why you know what you know, but we do. We came here with everything. So when you look at your human design chart, and let's just look at a human design chart again. Let me share my screen. There we go. When you look at a human design chart, you see, first of all, you see this beauty. If this were a person, this is this person's beautiful energy. And some of it is being broadcast in the colored centers, the colored channels, and the hanging gates. They're broadcasting this energy. In the white areas, so the white channels, the white centers, the white gates, you are absorbing the energy from the people around you. And these are the places where you could be conditioned to behave in a way that's not true for you because you're taking in everything. But you have all of the human design. So whether it's open, which is what we call the white centers and channels, or defined, which is what we call the colored areas in the chart, you have it all. You have it all. And this particular gate right here, this gate 48, is so fascinating to me. It's fascinating that it sits on the spleen because the spleen is a center where all of the gates can sort of double as fear. And we're coming up to the end of September through October where all of those gates are going to be hit by the sun and trigger all of these different fears. But the gate 48, I think, stands out from all of them in a way because it is the gate that shows you that you have everything you need, all the knowledge, all of the anything that you need is inside of you, right? That you've come fully equipped, that you just have forgotten. That you've come fully equipped. The 48 is called the well. In the I Ching, it really is going into the void within to come back with whatever it is that you need in that particular moment or to meet that particular challenge or to use something in a relationship that's helpful to you or to find that love or whatever it is, right? It's in you. It is in you. This gate and this channel, are kind of a part of what we call the circuit of mastery, I guess you could call it that, the mastery circuit. I know it has a different name in Karen Curry's work. I believe it's part of the business circuit. And I like to think of it as mastery, right? When you've mastered the fact that you are your own source of a wealth of information, that you carry it all with you. You've just forgotten how deep it goes. So never forget that even these systems, human design, astrology, whatever, that help you look for answers, they're looking for answers outside of you first, and then it takes you back in. So that always tells you that all of the answers are always here inside of you. And I love that about this particular system. It shows us very graphically that you are your own well, right? You are your own wealth of knowledge. You have it all. We've just forgotten that. And we tend to go looking outside of us for those answers where we have them all in here, right? Within. So there's that. I'm not sure how I got onto that subject, but it's just a fabulous study, right? To look at all of these things that you come equipped with, right? So it's like, you know, a car that comes equipped with all the bells and the whistles. You have all the bells and whistles, but sometimes you use the air conditioning in your car and sometimes you don't, right? Sometimes you're using the power windows and sometimes you're not. It's that kind of thing within us. You have all the bells and whistles. Sometimes you're using it. Sometimes you forget that you have it and you don't use it. So go back inside and find what you've lost. And that's so funny because a part of that conversation that we're having with this is also in our day today. Let's go now to the Pleiadian energy of the day. Today we've come to the halfway point of our cycle that began with one choosing. We are at today self-regulating. And self-regulating in the Mayan calendar was Etzanab, and it was a representation of a knife, of an obsidian knife often, or a flint knife. Sometimes it was also a mirror. You can see it in some Mayan symbols where it looks, it's sort of a square with a crackle going down, you know, sort of across diagonally from corner to corner, representing that karmic mirror, right? And being able to look in the mirror and cut away any part of you that is not true, not correct, not the authentic part of who you are. So the earth energy of the day and self-regulating says that we may be having intense experiences that are designed to cut through our illusions, the illusion of who you think you are, of who you think you're not, of the belief systems out there, of all of the different philosophies and things that we tend to identify with that are in the outer world that have really no real truth on our inner world. So today is your opportunity, right, to eliminate anything that is not authentic. You had the new moon last night. The new moon is that portal, right? That's one of the portals I really believe we have every month, is that new moon, to walk through that portal. And what do we find on the other side of a door or the other side of a portal is something new, a new way of being. Today, we have the opportunity to cut away anything that doesn't align with what that new thing is, that new you or that new opportunity. So you get to cut it away. If it doesn't resonate with your truth, out it goes, right? And we're not talking about the little T truths, right? We're talking about the big T truths, the ones that are unifying us, the ones that don't succumb to division and rancor and upset. We're talking about the bigger truths. Now, in this case, this energy of self-regulating also allows you to dissolve any of the boundaries that you've created out of judgment, or of criticizing, of looking at differences rather than the samenesses. Or you could, it's okay to look at the differences, right? If I'm standing right next to a black woman, you're going to see I'm white, she's black. It's okay to look at those differences. But what's not okay is to say that because I'm white, it's better, right? It's not. It's how fascinating we have these different color skins, yet we have so much of sameness, right? We each have two hands, two arms, two lungs, two eyes, ears, hair, and all of that is the same. It's just the skin color that's different, but how fascinating is that, right? So we get to look at the differences, but we get to honor them, We don't get to make them better or worse than us because of them. That's the misuse of duality that has gotten us into the pickle that we're in right now, right? Instead, we look for the sameness, and then we honor the differences, right? That's this day. And so we get to dissolve those things that we've judged or the things that we've criticized, even if you were criticizing and judging your own self, right? Cutting that out, right? You're perfect just as you are. And that doesn't mean that tomorrow you won't be different or better. It just means that right now you are as perfect as you can be, or else you wouldn't be, right? So it's kind of a truth, a big truth, right, that we can live from. Now, the seven energy, the energy of the universal day. So the seven, the number is always the universal energy. The word is always the earth energy. So earth specific. But the seven is all life forms in all worlds, all through the universes. And it is the seven, which is about merging worlds. And it calls us to decipher or decode and then understand the mystical side of life, the mysticism engaged in you as a person, the divine you, that how divine is it that I am all complete, that everything I need is right here in me, that all the answers I could ever want to answer are in me. I don't need to go looking outside of me because I have it in me. I don't necessarily trust that, so I go looking outside of me. But everything you need is here. And this particular energy of seven then opens our eyes to see that bigger picture, to see the illusion of how we've separated ourselves or how we've believed something that we're not. And we get to see beyond the physical reality on a day like today. We can see the etheric and the beyond, right? We can see the interconnection. You can see the web of life, even if you choose to look, how the strings connect us all. And that's looking at us from an energetic point of view, without judgment, without criticism, without separateness. And then we can resolve our conflicts when we're able to see that. When we can see the strands of how everything is interconnected, then we have the opportunity to solve conflict. And we so need that, right? We so need that. And then think about this. This is a tough one. Remember that we are all divine. Even those people out there that you don't necessarily resonate with, the people out there that you think are harming the planet or harming you or harming the world, the people out there that seem to, you know, do things just to spite other people, they're all divine. And that takes in all the criminals, that takes in all of the saints, that takes in all of you and all of me and my family and everyone, right? We are all divine. Now, that doesn't mean that we say what they do is okay or is right, but if we can remember that everybody, every blade of grass, every animal, and every person on the planet is divine, that's tough. That's a real tough one. And that everybody on the planet is acting as the cosmic mirror or the karmic mirror for us all. So when we're packaging up what we don't like and we throw it out there on our leaders or on, you know, your spouse or your kids or something, or your kids do it to you, it is the forgetting of their divineness. They're forgetting that you're of divineness. And the 7 day reminds us of that. And this particular 7 day reminds us of that because we are in the umbrella week of choosing. So we get to choose how we are adopting this information into our life. We are choosing. We can choose to go down the rancorous path, or we can choose to go down the path of serenity and acceptance and love. It's always a choice. And every minute we have a choice about what we do, about where we're going, about how we feel. And that's the beauty of these kinds of days. They remind us of all of that and cherish every minute of that, because it's not always so obvious as it is today. Okay, now let's take a look. What time is it? Okay, good. Let me go back to real quick before I transition over to the next subject, see how everybody's doing with that. Pauline, not intimidated, feel like, okay, I read that earlier. Sally Brown, hello, Rueda, good morning. new moon hit me hard in the middle of the night. I hope it was a good hit. I hope it was an aha, I'm awesome. Debbie Tibbetts Dumiel, good morning. I was watching yesterday's show. Oh my gosh, too funny, Debbie. And that's so funny. Asa, I love this, is so true. We have to remember that we all come from love. Indeed. So I once read this book, and I don't, you know, if I've talked about this before, I'm sorry for repeating myself, but I read this book once by, I believe his name was Robert Schwartz, and heaven help me right now, I cannot remember the name of it. I'll find it later, because I think it's so worth reading in these days and times that we're in. As he talks about in this book, the time before birth, the time in between, the planning time, I guess you could say, where before you incarnate, there are decisions that are being made about what you would experience in this play of life, right? The people that are in soul form at that point in time, and the agreements that are made between souls. Is that what it's called? The agreement of souls? Blah. Anyway, it's going to pop up in my head in a minute. So in the book, he talks about this time in between, and this comes from sessions that he's done with people in hypnosis, and he takes them back beyond birth, between, you know, lives, the time between lives, and how extraordinary it is for souls to come to the planet and agree to play the part of a murderer or a rapist or a crooked politician or a beautiful soul that's life is snuffed out early or things like this. And he goes through different examples. One woman who had received one of the bombs from the Unabomber and her experience, and several other, you know, instances where people go back beyond and they see where they've agreed for whatever purpose at the soul level that it would serve to be the murdered or to be the murderer or to be the raper or the rapist or the person raped or whatever it was, right? Any of that harm, and how much love it takes for a soul to agree to come in to play that part for you as an individual. It's just an amazing turn up thing, things upside down on their ears and look at it from a completely different perspective. That is not to say that murder is right or rape is right or any of that. That's not it. But that the souls agree on some level that that is a part of the experience they will have. And that in and of itself is a loving choice. It'll blow you away if you read the book. It will just blow you away. I had trouble with it. And when I talk to people about that particular book, they have trouble with it. They have trouble because no one wants to think that they agreed to come here to suffer or to have that experience. But on some soul level, indeed, there was an agreement between souls to do that. So if you think about things like that, everything, including the things that we think of as ugly, are all eventually thought of as having their basis in love, that love energy. It's just amazing. Okay, so I'm going to leave that subject, and before we end up going into a whole new, you know, information, let's talk about the moon today. The moon is now in Virgo, as I said at the top of the show. With Virgo, we have a shift in energy from the more light, playful energy of Leo to the more work-oriented energy of Virgo. As in, Virgo rules our working life. So everything about our day, from the routine of our day to the scheduling of our day, the rhythm, the daily rhythm, right? I get up, I brush my teeth, or I get in the shower, I do this, and then I do that. It is the environment that you also find yourself working in. So it rules the, Virgo rules the sixth house of the natural zodiac wheel. The sixth house is also a house of work. It is a house of the body, the physical body, and the health of the body, I guess is how we should word that. There are other places in the chart that will show the physical body, but Virgo really rules the health of the body and the healing of the body. So we have our daily rhythm, our coworkers, our to-do list, how long is your to-do list, and your working environment. And we also have health, the moon triggering possibly changes to your diet or your exercise program. It definitely has something to do with your constitution. the constitution of your body, the relative strength of your body to endure toxins in an environment or toxins that you've ingested. So here we want to, you know, strengthen that constitution. And to do that, we embrace healthy habits, perhaps, or alternative healing methods that access the deeper part of the reason why something is happening and not just throw a bunch of pills out at the symptoms of the body. So diet, exercise, your constitution, healthy habits, everything that we think of about alternative healing, accessing more than, and I'm not poo-pooing Western medicine, certainly. I'm just saying, you know, they are often very quick to just throw out some drugs to you, not to really address, well, what is it that's going on in your life that prompted this? Right? What is that, that pain in your back showing you, right? Going back deeper into things. So Virgo allows us to have that deeper access into the body and what the body might be showing us. And as you all know, Virgo is always the sign that you want if you have to organize something because they tend to the details. They see the things that we otherwise might miss, the things that just make it spectacular instead of just mediocre. They're always perfecting and processing, and they are very efficient. They like the orderly environment so they can bring order out of chaos. I had a really good friend who was a Virgo sun. She was also a feng shui consultant. And I always now in my mind equate feng shui, sort of the smooth flow of energy through an environment with Virgo energy as well, because they tend to see right where you've got a clog of energy right there. Let's put those somewhere else. Let's put them in a drawer. Let's put them away. Let's throw them away if we don't need them. So organization. Discernment, also one of the gifts of Virgo. Discernment is including analysis, being analytical, being able to critically think and to be able to focus and to plan what the steps are. It's an earth sign, so it's related to Capricorn. It's related to Taurus and their ability to take stepwise progression. Capricorn, who really wants a plan and goals, right? Virgo is the writer of the plan, and this is the steps that you can follow. But of course, with any sign, we have a few things to watch out for. Anxiety from being overly analytical, overthinking, right, is a sign ruled by Mercury. So we have Mercury involved here, thinking processes, the mind. Blaming, shaming, guilt trips, also some of the negative Virgo expression, worry, criticism, judgment, and being a workaholic. Now, those negative sort of, they're on the spectrum, right? There's the energy on the negative side, then there's the positive ones. You know, our best is to come into the center. And there are clues in the body that help you understand when you're out of whack in the Virgo part of your life. And that is because the body part for Virgo is the digestive system, the assimilation of nutrients into the body. So Virgo takes it in, breaks it down to its component parts, send whatever needs to go to the lymph system, what needs to go to the blood, what needs to go to the urine, the kidneys to be, you know, as waste out of the body. It assimilates. So it also is functions like your bowels and whether you are constipated or have diarrhea. These might be signs and signals that you are either not assimilating or you're holding on to too much. So Virgo parts of, so I, when we talk about the part of the body that the moon is ruling at a particular time, it is also related to the emotions that you're holding on to that relate to that Virgo, in this case, area of your chart. So wherever it is in your chart is likely where there can be some upsets here, where you maybe aren't digesting everything appropriately or aren't assimilating the what's good from what you're taking in and letting go of what's not so good from what you've taken in. So Virgo helps us work through all of that. Now, as well, Mercury moves into Virgo today. So you can see the shift, right? We've been in this Leo energy. We had Mercury there. We're not done with Leo because at some point here, Venus will move out of Cancer and into Leo. But for the time being, we're moving, we're shifting over to the Virgo energy with the moon today, Mercury later on this evening, and the Sun on Saturday. So we're moving this energy along throughout our charts. Mercury is in Virgo tonight at 6:30 p.m. my time, so 9:30 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. So it'll be tomorrow for those of you in Europe and further east. And we'll be in the sign of Virgo until September 5th, so just a few weeks. Hard to believe that that's just like 3 weeks' time. We will be in September. Where does the time go? Now, Mercury in Virgo is one of the rulers, right? He has two signs he rules, Gemini and Virgo. So at least for the moment, astrologers seem to agree that he rules the sign of Virgo. And in this time, then, we might find our minds and our speech working in a better, more cohesive, focused manner. We have organized thoughts, we have organized words, and they come out that way, more organized. Seeing the details, right? This is Mercury here is very aptly able to get to the details of something, to see, handling the minutiae of things, right? The small little bits and pieces. Of course, that also then suggests that you might miss the forest for the trees. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to lose sight of the big picture because you're so into the details. So we are working with both the details here, but also keeping in mind that it's part of a bigger picture. So don't lose sight of that. This is a great time to analyze, to sort, to organize, to clean out the closet, so to speak, let go of what's not necessary. And then there's also a connection here to factual information. I think sometimes when Mercury's in Virgo, we get too much into the facts and we lose sight of the magic. So don't lose sight of the magic. We want the facts, but not just the facts, right? We don't want just the facts. They help us, but we also need to see the bigger picture. All right. Also today, the last transit that we'll talk about for today is the Sun in a smooth flow of energy with the North Node. So the Sun today is at about 27 degrees or so of Leo. The North Node is at 27 degrees of Gemini. It's actually 27:22. No, that's the South Node. That's 27:22 of Sag. The North Node is at 27:22 of Gemini. So there's a smooth flow of energy going on between the nodes in general. So that axis across Gemini and Sagittarius. With the North Node being activated by the Sun, though, it puts the focus on how we can grow. What area do we want to grow in and toward? And also, you know, rising up to meet the challenges in growth and in evolution, and sort of lights up the direction for us. The Sun acts like the giant, you know, flashlight beam that points you in the direction of your truth. On some level here for everybody, whether it's your North Node or not, it's transiting, so it's part of your reality right now. On some level, we all have to see and do what's true and correct for each of us. The tendency in the North Node Gemini person is that they are often doing things to make other people happy, or they do things just to make other people think that they're really good at what they do. I mean, they tend to be sort of people-pleasing behaviors. So the impulse here might be to do or say things that make other people happy, but doesn't really resonate with your truth. So watch for that. True growth is when you're moving to your authenticness, not into somebody else's idea of what you should do to be authentic. So watching for that, that's really a very small negative in the bigger picture of the positive growth and evolutionary energy that's potentially here for everybody at this particular moment. And remember, the South Node is now conjunct the galactic center. So we could be in receipt of a lot of really good energy, positively charged or even negatively charged. I mean, positives and negatives they come together to form new molecules, right? They form new energies. That's streaming into the planet right now. It was funny because I caught an article this morning. Oops, sorry, Siri, didn't mean to wake you up. I caught, what was it? It said, I think it was space weather. might have been some other site, but Space Weather is generally where I get this kind of thing from. And it said that the Earth was in receiving of a lot of highly charged particles right now, likely because of something, some interaction between the Sun and the Earth, or the position that we are in the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. And so right now the potential is for a lot of huge possibilities for change, for adopting a new way of being, for embracing more love and more truth. Who knows? But it's really something that we're bringing in. So some of you may be having trouble sleeping. Some of you may be having digestive disruptions already just because of the stream of this highly charged particle energy that's coming into the planet. If so, don't necessarily overanalyze where's that coming from, why is that happening to me. Just know that that's a part of our evolutionary energy here as well. Which brings me to something I've totally forgot to talk about this week, and that is on Thursday evening, I am going to be on Angel Heart Radio again with Anaya Halili and Carol Ann, and we are going to go into the next level of the solar plexus mutation that's occurring. And we're going to go into last time we talked about what some of the symptoms are and what that is about, right? What can we sort of expect in the craziness of the time that we're in? But now, tomorrow, we're going to go more into what is it going to affect? What are we going to see in the new ways of being? What are some of the new things that we can expect that aren't going to happen all on that one day, right? We're in the process of engaging these things now. So be sure to tune in. It'll be tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. That makes it kind of late for those of you on the East Coast. It'll be 9:30, 8:30 in the Central time zone. But Anaya is really good at putting those up on Facebook. In fact, she broadcasts live to Facebook. So if you go to Angel Heart Radio Facebook page, that's where we'll be broadcasting live. And you can go back to that same page tomorrow or Friday to hear the recording of that broadcast if you miss it because it's late where you are. But it's an interesting chat. And I love being with these two ladies. They're just so open-minded. And it's really important, I think, for all of us to understand that we are in the midst of a mutation. We're at the ugly end of the mutation right now, right? We're at the, oh, I don't want to go. We're kicking and screaming and holding on for dear life to the old age. And that is passing on. And we are we're hopefully getting ready to embrace all that will come. Even if it's not going to happen, you know, all in one day, it isn't, but we're embracing that, the new and the new potential. So that's tomorrow night. And I think that is it. For those of you who are in the membership, geez Louise, I've been really bad. I did not tell you, but this Friday is our forum. So those of you who are listening that are in the membership, be formulating your questions about your personal chart, human design, astrology, or gene keys, or any other metaphysical subject you want to talk about. It is your time. You have my 100% attention for an hour or so. We usually go longer on Friday at 12 noon Pacific time. So I will send out a reminder about that today. But hopefully those of you out there who are in the membership will hear this and remember yourselves. All right, that is it for me this morning. I'm going to go take one check back for questions or anything that people might want to say. Good morning, Gina, yes, good to see you. Andy girl, I have my south node in Virgo. My youngest son is a Virgo son. Ah, he came to you from the past. Interesting. Okay, Andre. Kya Sane. I'm not sure if I'm going to go there with that because I think I just botched that. I'm so sorry, but welcome to you. She says, or he says, I just found your channel. So glad. Love from Myanmar. Well, we are glad to have you and I would love to know. I can sort of see your picture, but I can't tell what the picture looks like. It's too far away here. Welcome. And JLo says, woohoo, I'm ready. Time to check my chart. Pauline says one-on-one reading. If become a member gets discussed. Not sure what that means. Asa, hello. She's going to be there and love and light to all. All right, guys, we've crossed a lot of territory today. So please, if you have any questions, you can, after the video is over, put some questions or chat down underneath the video And usually I've been pretty good about it. Put a question or two down there for you to consider. Today I'll probably put one of our questions from Rosie Aronson's book, but feel free to interact down there as well. And I will see you guys tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Have a great day, everyone. Be in love and be in light. And remember, you are all you need.